Being negative is such a surefire way to get views on YouTube, so just know that today I'm actively nerfing myself. One of my most successful videos in recent memory is the one where I discuss what the worst Pokemon of each type is, and man, you guys certainly had some opinions on my picks. I swear, I've never seen the word Love Disc get thrown around so much in a comment section in my life. Yeah, guys, I get it. Love Disc has bad stats and isn't used, but you can get away with it. I literally don't know what Wugtrio could contribute to a team. It's the Yamcha of water types. Love Disc is closer to like a Tien Shinhan. Apologies if you've never seen Dragon Ball Z. I sometimes forget that not all of my fans are so deeply engrossed by Mexican culture. The point is, we're doing the opposite today. I'm gonna be positive and tell you all what I personally believe to be the strongest Pokemon of every type, not only because I'm running out of video ideas, but because my therapist says this would be a good exercise. Now, as I am a competitive VGC player, this means that this video will be discussing the strongest Pokemon for the official competitive format. If you want a video on singles, I'd recommend, I don't know, Blunder or something. Oh, and we're not including restricted legendaries like Xerneas, but we are including sub-legendaries like Anamorous. Also, if a Pokemon is arguably the best Pokemon for two different types, I just chose one and found a runner-up for the other one. Anyways, leave a like, subscribe, check out the Patreon, become a YouTube channel member. Let's get normal type out of the way. The normal type is arguably the type with the highest highs and the lowest lows. Yes, the very same type that has Spinda among its ranks is also home to the bear. Which bear? Well, to be honest, they're both arguably about as strong as each other, but base Ursaluna has seen slightly more mileage than Blood Moon, so I'm gonna stick with that one. Ursaluna is a Pokemon that asks the question, what if you had to fight a bear with rabies? Yeah, stats like 130 HP, 140 attack, 105 defense, and 80 special defense on a Pokemon with Trick Room speed, and it's not even a legendary? Well, it looks like Amoongus is gonna be a mandatory Pokemon to deal with this thing. Oh, never mind. No, you can't sleep it like 99 times out of 100, because the bear is only at full power when it's rabid. Guts is an ability that grants a Pokemon a 50% boost to its physical attack stat as long as it's statused, while also ignoring the damage nerf on physical attacks the burn would usually cause. Because of this, Ursaluna will almost always run the Flame Orb as its item. This grants it the Guts boost and also prevents it from falling asleep as it's already statused. This also means that somebody finally pulled the trigger on giving Guts Facade to a normal type with an attack stat over 100. Facade is a normal type move with 70 base power that doubles in power whenever the user is statused. This means that Ursaluna is basically throwing out choice banded Giga Impacts every turn at the low cost of 1/16th of its health every turn. This would maybe actually act as a downside if it needed to survive more than 4 turns to get the job done. The damage Ursaluna is capable of is unprecedented. For reference, Facade into Zacian is dealing more than 50%. That's into a Pokemon that actually resists the attack. And if you really need a one-shot something that resists normal moves, good news. It's also part ground type, so you can just click Earthquake or Headlong Rush to deal with them. Yeah, it's not even a competition. This thing's broken. It's Incineroar. I'm not even gonna bother giving a full paragraph to this thing. You all knew it was Incineroar. Intimidate, Fake Out, Parting Shot, Knock Off, Will-O-Wisp, filing your taxes, getting your groceries, being a shoulder to cry on, remembering your birthday. He does it all. If you want to know how good Incineroar really is, just go watch literally every other video on this channel and see how often I bring it up. We're moving on. This channel is partnered with Gamersups. If you want to support my work and get great tasting drinks, you can order Gamersups through my link in the description down below or with code MOXIEBOOSTED at checkout for 10% off. Gamersups is a caffeinated product that I recommend only to my 18 plus viewers, but my link will send you to their caffeine free product section just in case. Every product purchased through my link supports my channel financially, so I'd really appreciate the support. Now back to the video. In this industry, we call this guy Green Incineroar. Rillaboom has been dominant in every format it's been allowed in since it got access to its hidden ability Grassy Surge midway through Generation 8. Not only does it have access to Fake Out, U-Turn, and Wood Hammer, but it may as well call Grassy Glide its signature move, as it's the only Pokemon in the game who can set up grassy terrain and use the move for full power in a single turn. This move was originally a 70 base power physical grass type attack, which would gain +1 priority in grassy terrain. This move was broken. It let Rillaboom click an 84 power move with Stab on top of that for priority. For reference, that's stronger than Extreme Speed, which is a move distributed to a very select group of Pokemon due to how busted it would be otherwise. Only one of those Pokemon is actually a normal type that gets Stab on it, and that Pokemon is Linoon. So yeah, any priority move this strong couldn't really stay around for too long. As of Generation 9, Grassy Glide was reduced to just 55 base power, or 66 after terrain, which is still strong enough that basically every Rillaboom still runs the attack, and all this is on top of its great stat spread and its splash ability on most teams. It's really hard to argue in favor of any other grass type, even Amoongus, who was a very close second for this spot. The water type has so many Pokemon within it that this pick should have been harder to make than it really was. I don't care if Pelipper has Drizzle, I don't care if Basque Legion can sweep a whole team, there has never been a more reliable workhorse of a water type than Tapu Fini. Tapu Fini can just do it all. It's got really impressive bulk with 70 HP, 115 defense, and 130 special defense. Stats like these would usually be at the expense of any offensive potential, but in reality, Tapu Fini was still a menace when it came to damage. 95 special attack is enough to punch some holes in Pokemon with the right set. Over the years, Tapu Fini has taken advantage of choice spec sets, combine leftover sets, and Z moves. All of them were considered very powerful options. Try switching in on choice specs Muddy Water without losing a few brain cells. You're getting chunked for 40% and you're getting your accuracy dropped. Stupid. And no, you're not one-shotting it back. But what really puts Tapu Fini over the top is its ability Misty Surge. This ability causes Tapu Fini to set up Misty Terrain, having the power of Dragon moves, and more importantly, preventing all grounded Pokemon from being statused. This makes it much easier for Tapu Fini's partners to avoid getting slept by Pokemon like Amoongus or burned by that Sableye you randomly fought on the ladder. And all this along with being a fairy type with access to Moonblast? Yeah, this is the best water type. Calm down, Urshifu is later on in the video. There's an argument to be made that Tapu Fini might also be the best fairy type in the game, but I chose it for water so we can acknowledge the Fluttermane in the room. I'm sure you're all tired of me explaining what makes Fluttermane so broken in these videos, so I'll keep this one a little shorter. Fluttermane is a ghost fairy type with its stats so min-maxed that it allows for Fluttermane to invest into its meager physical bulk to live attacks while not missing out on many KOs or failing to outspeed things. Its 135 special attack and speed put it so far above most Pokemon in the game that it hardly requires any investment. This is only made more effective by the fact that its ability Photosynthesis causes it to boost its highest stat as long as Sun is active or it's holding the booster energy. Its damage output is absolutely absurd after accounting for every multiplier at its disposal, including Terra Fairy, Choice Specs, and Protosynthesis. Even basic max speed, max special attack Focus Sash sets are effective since it can easily slow down opposing Pokemon with Icy Wind and let its teammate deal with them. It's got access to practically every tool it ever want with Taunt, Thunder Wave, and even Trick Room in its learn set. And once you consider the fact that it's also a ghost type, it means that it can't be faked out on turn 1. An absolute monster of a Pokemon, probably the best fairy type in the game. Okay, someone shoved Raikou's head through a trombone like Patrick in that one episode of SpongeBob, and now we have to deal with Raging Bolt. I think my favorite fun fact about Raging Bolt is that, stat-wise, it's basically just Lunala, a restricted legendary Pokemon. Only that, this thing isn't a restricted legendary, it's a Paradox Pokemon, and a good one at that. Like, if you made me choose between Zekrom or Raging Bolt, I'm choosing Bolt 8 days out of the week. Once again, we have a Pokemon with access to Protosynthesis, meaning that Raging Bolt can easily boost its special attack stat by 30% in Sun, only now, this Pokemon is fat, strong, and has an electric version of Sucker Punch. Coming off of 137 base special attack means that Thunderclap is going to be dealing massive damage to anything in its way, and it's not uncommon for Bolt players to go for Terra Electric to double down on their damage while removing their fairy weakness. So it's like being hit by the lightning of Zeus himself. The sets that this thing can run are just as numerous as Fluttermane, with Assault Vest, Life Orb, Booster Energy, and even Choice Spec seeing usage. It's just so fat, dude. Like, 125 HP really becomes apparent when you hit it with close combat and it just bounces off of it. And don't get me started on how strong this thing's Draco Meteor is. It's basically always got a 30% boost on its special attack, and it may have a Life Orb on top of that, so nothing really tanks it. It's just a really, really reliable Pokemon, and it's shown that in the short time it's been in the game, so I don't really see that changing anytime soon. I don't think there's ever been a harder concept in video games than beating your opponent by releasing the full unbridled strength of your bank account at them. Goldengo being Pokemon number 1000 obviously meant that it was going to be good in some way, but Game Freak made it very clear that they wanted to guarantee that to be the case. As a ghost steel type, there's very few other types in the game that can switch in on this Pokemon. While its stats might seem just okay beyond its 133 base special attack stat, it gets its power from two major things. One, its signature move Make It Rain, which is a 120 base power special steel move that hits both targets and decreases Goldengo's special attack stat by one stage each time it's used. And two, it's straight up stupid ability Good as Gold. Let me try to make this easy to understand. Goldengo's ability makes it immune to all status moves. Now, to the average 12-year-old playing through the game refusing to click any move that doesn't deal damage, this ability might as well not exist. But to competitive players, yeah, this thing's a menace. Goldengo is often flanked by Tailwind Pokemon to allow it to move first, or screens Pokemon to let it set up Nasty Plot and sweep afterwards. Not being able to use status moves on Goldengo means no Taunt on Nasty Plot and no Thunder Wave to slow it down. Also, no Parting Shot, no Encore, nothing that doesn't try to scuff Goldengo's very expensive shoes. And once again, as a ghost type, Goldengo cannot be faked out. The counterplay to this thing is limited to smacking it with the biggest stick you can find and hoping he doesn't get back up. He might not be top 10 in usage right now, but he can easily reach number 1 if he stands on his money. It's Urshifu. Which one? I don't care. You pick. The point is they're both fighting types with solid stats across the board that straight up break the rules of the game. Oh, you click Protect? Don't care. Oh, you set up Reflect? Don't care. Get crit. Oh, you burned me? Okay, that one actually does matter along with the snail to actually help, but the odds are you don't have either one of them on the team. Urshifu Rapid Strike and Single Strike both have moves with guaranteed critical hits that just melt whatever's in front of them. And Urshifu Rapid Strike gets even harder to play around when you realize that its signature move is boosted by rain, meaning that it just deletes whatever's in front of it as long as they have Terra available. They generally always run Surging Strikes or Wicked Blow alongside Close Combat and Protect, but that last move can really mix you up. Look, it's Taunt or one of their priority moves, your call, or God forbid they click Coaching on the Calyrex Ice. That was a thing. It was a thing and no one's allowed to forget about it. I mean, it would just feel wrong to give this to any Pokemon but Tornadus, right? The literal only Pokemon in the game that's pure flying type. What do you mean, rookity? Anyways, Tornadus has been viable since day one of being in the game. While it was originally known for spamming Flying Gem Acrobatics back in Generation 5, nowadays it takes a slightly more passive role in matches by getting priority Tailwind up for its team, missing Bleakwind Storm, and accidentally giving King Gambit an attack boost. Tornadus has been the go-to Tailwind setter for many teams, alongside powerful attackers like Urshifu Rapid Strike, Golden Go, and Kyogre. It was already a powerful Pokemon, but as of Generation 8's Pokemon Legends Arceus, it got access to a new signature move in Bleakwind Storm, and also assisted for some reason. Bleakwind Storm gives Tornadus a spread flying move which deals solid damage while having a chance to drop the opponent's speed stat and absolutely turn the tide of a match in a single turn. Along with access to Prankster Taunt, Rain Dance, Sunny Day, and even Leer, if you're cool like me, it's not really a competition. Like, you could maybe argue Pelipper here, but Tornadus just has too much going for it for me to give it to anything else. Ah, the poison type. Who will this go to? Could it be a Amoongus with its great support moves and longevity, or Sneasler with its gambling problems? Nope. Gen 1, baby, it's wheezing time. Real wheezers, rise up. All it took to make this homunculus relevant was giving it a broken ability. Look, wheezing was never all that great in competitive Pokemon, but things really turned around in Generation 8 when it got access to the ability Neutralizing Gas, which literally turns off every ability in the game, except for Calyrex. I'm still mad about that. But wheezing's ability to turn a match upside down simply by existing has caused it to rise well above the viability of every other poison type, in my opinion. Is it more niche finding use on only teams specifically built around it? Yes, but you cannot deny that when you see the wheeze, all you can do is sigh. Wheezing has been a powerful partner for not only Regigigas, but Calyrex Shadow, and of course, any Pokemon holding the Ability Shield. The upper limits on power that a Wheezing team can have when it comes to shutting down other teams has not yet been fully explored, but in the hands of the right player, it's an easy win. Wheezing can carry its weight well beyond just existing by taunting Trick Room setters, poisoning the opposing team to stall them out, or just burning a physical attacker. But really, just existing is all that it takes. Landorus is by far the best ground type Pokemon in the game, once you disqualify Ursaluna for also being the best normal type, but it was a really close anyways, I swear. While originally Landorus was known for its Therian form being able to deal big damage to opponents while U-turning in and out to cycle Intimidates, this isn't actually the best Landorus form in the game right now. Landorus Incarnate has been terrorizing VGC ever since it regained access to its ability Sheer Force in Generation 8. This ability gives a 30% boost to all moves with a secondary effect, at the expense of that effect no longer happening. While Landorus only has a base 115 special attack stat, that offensive power is shot to the moon by combining it with Sheer Force and a Life Orb, and then just spamming Earth Power at everything that comes your way. When you account for every multiplier, including Stab, Earth Power is a whopping 228 power, and Sandseer Storm, its new signature move, becomes 253 power on single targets and 190 power on multiple targets. The damage that this thing is capable of is just wacky. Some matchups are simply solved by getting Tailwind and Rain up so Terra Ground Landorus can sweep the whole team in two turns. Is it always that simple? No, but the effectiveness of the strategy isn't really up for debate at this point. Even with Scarf Landorus picking up more usage today to outspeed Maridon and Zacian, we still see it picking up massive one-shots on Pokemon without that Life Orb. This guy is just built different. Is this a safe space? Okay, good. I do not care for Indeedee Female. It insists upon itself. Like, what do you mean there's a normal psychic type with every support move it ever needed? This thing's got solid bulk, psychic terrain on switch-in, follow me, helping hand, and as of a glitch from early Scarlet and Violet, Trick Room. Yeah, it wasn't meant to have the move. That was supposed to be an Indeedee male exclusive. It was just a random chance to have the move from 5-star raids when no other Pokemon in the game got moved that way. They just eventually said, okay, it's too late, and let it learn the move via TMs in the DLC. Crazy, right? Indeedee Female is able to be a solid support Pokemon for such a wide variety of powerful Pokemon that it doesn't need to be a powerful attacker itself, even if it is capable of big damage. Indeedee will often redirect moves away from Pokemon like Calyrex, Ursaluna, or Armourouge while setting up terrain for them to prevent Fake Out and other priority moves. From this point on, it's just going to continue to redirect moves or Helping Hand spread moves to end the game before Trick Room can run out. Yeah, this thing can get Dexited, but it doesn't mean I won't give her her flowers. In all of history, only two people have ever been able to take you to the School of Rock, and those people are Jack Black and Tyranitar. Tyranitar might be the single most solid Pokemon design in the game, considering how little it's changed over the years in comparison to other Pokemon and how strong it still is. As a pseudo-legendary, Tyranitar is predisposed to being broken, but it took its great stats from Gen 2, got its ability Sandstream in Gen 3, and just ran with the ball ever since. As a Rock-type, Tyranitar gets a 50% boost to its special defense stat passively as long as Sandstorm is active, and seeing as it sets up Sandstorm automatically by hitting the field, it means that it just has a built-in Assault Vest that deals chip damage to other Pokemon. This thing has been spamming Rock Slide since before a lot of you could form sentences. Since before I could form sentences. I'm only 4 months older than Tyranitar and he's still doing his thing. Over time, it's only gotten better with it gaining access to buffed knockoff and Terastallization. As a dark type, it's immune to prankster moves and has paused the matchups into Psy-Spam teams that we see today, and it's been paired with Sandrush Sweepers like Excadrill, Lycanroc, and Dracovish over the years, since its sand allows for some of these strong attackers to outspeed everything in the game. And it's still winning regional championships as recently as 2024. It's going to take a lot to dethrone this thing as the strongest rock type in the game. Most ice types are straight up garbage and competitive, but every once in a while, things line up just right for a demon to be created. The most recent of these demons is Chienpoo, misser of icicle crashes and unemployer of Weaviles everywhere. With decent bulk, 135 speed and 120 attack as a dark ice type, it was bound to be strong. But what about it makes it better than Weavile in doubles? Wouldn't most players prefer having access to Fake Out over the higher speed? Well, that's not really the value judgment that you have to make. It's not Fake Out or speed. It's Fake Out or speed with a free life orb. Yep. Chienpoo is one of the treasures of Ruin from Scarlet and Violet, meaning its ability causes every Pokemon on the field to have a debuff to one of their stats. In Chienpoo's case, Sword of Ruin causes all Pokemon on the field to have their defense stat cut, meaning that all physical attackers deal significantly more damage as long as it's on the field. Chienpoo is not only able to chunk Pokemon for big damage with its Icicle Crashes and Sucker Punches, but partner Pokemon like Iron Hands or Urshifu gain just as much of a buff. While this is a double-edged sword, with them also taking more damage, it's nothing that just hitting them harder and faster can't fix. Simply move first and all your problems start to melt away. This thing has been relevant and powerful since the very moment it dropped back in Regulation C, and it's hard to make an argument against it being the best ice type in the game. Wait, there are good bug types? I know, I was just as shocked. But it's hard to make an argument over Volcarona carrying the entire type on its back. With access to great speed, bulk, and special attack, it's pretty set stat-wise. But what puts it over the top is Volcarona's learn set. Volcarona has been known over the years to run support Rage Powder sets to keep teammates safe, as well as being the one kept safe by its teammates so it can set up Quiver Dances and sweep entire teams. 65 defense may not seem very impressive all things considered, but when you invest into it, Volcarona begins to become an issue for even the most prepared teams. It's paused the matchups into metagame staples like Rillaboom, Zamazenta, Iron Hands, Grimmsnarl, and many other Pokemon while still somehow flying under the radar, has caused Volcarona to have a very accomplished career over the years. Yeah, Volcarona isn't all that common in doubles, but it's not something that people don't consider when building a team. Because of that, it's a Pokemon that often throws a wrench into plenty of matchups, with it redirecting physical attacks and burning Pokemon with its ability Flame Body. It's simply just the best bug type. I don't even know what second place could have been. Pheromosa, maybe? I don't know. I'm gonna be so for real here, the only reason I chose Mimikyu for this spot was because Fluttermane and Golden Go already won it for other types, so congratulations on the pity medal. This isn't to say that Mimikyu is bad though, it's just not as busted as the other Pokemon on this list. Mimikyu has a lot of value from its ability Disguise, blocking damage once per game. It makes it a really reliable Trick Room setter and support Pokemon, with it having a solid run in multiple formats even in Generation 9. Not much else to say about it here, we're just gonna move on. The electric type is home to a number of busted Pokemon like Tapu Koko, Regieleki, and Raging Bolt, but for my money, the best electric type of all time is Iron Hands. This thing just doesn't faint. 154 HP, 140 attack, 108 defense, and yeah, it's got 68 special defense, but with HP like that, there's nothing an Assault Vest can't fix. And this Pokemon doesn't even feel the downside of the Assault Vest not letting you use status moves, because who's gonna click status moves with this walking tank? It's got Fake Out, Drain Punch, and Wild Charge at its disposal. Pick your favorite last move, it doesn't really matter. But might I recommend Low Kick so you can oh, I don't know, delete restricted legendaries from the game. Yeah, the fact that this thing not only gets an attack boost from Miradon's electric terrain, but can also use said attack boost with low kick to send it to the Shadow Realm is nasty work. And this is all with it having crazy longevity due to its bulk and access to Drain Punch. Nah, this thing is getting nerfed ASAP. It's already won the World Championships. Twice. It's only got to win one more this year to get the three-peat, and things are looking pretty good on that front. The best dark type is actually a pretty close competition, but I ultimately gave it to Grimmsnarl. We haven't really seen such a perfect support Pokemon in the game prior to Grimm. Yeah, Incineroar existed, but Grimmsnarl was a dark type with access to Prankster Screens, Parting Shot, Thunder Wave, Scary Face, Fake Out, and even its signature move of Spirit Break, a fairy physical attack that lowers the opponent's special attack stat if it hits. Even when it's attacking, it's decreasing the opponent's damage. This thing has carried entire teams on its back in Generation 8's Dynamax formats, and it's still doing the same song and dance in Generation 9, making Pokemon like Iron Hands, Raging Bolt, and Calyrex Ice feel unkillable. And its super deep move pool makes it feel like close team sheet matches are games against Schrodinger's Grimmsnarl, where it's got every move in the game at once until it reveals it specifically only got the four moves it needs to ruin your day. This little gremlin is on the list, no arguments. With that, we've covered every type in the game and which Pokemon I think is the strongest of them. What do you think about my picks? Do you disagree? What Pokemon would you have picked? Let me know in the comment section below. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to leave a like and subscribe. It means the world to me. If you want to support me further, you can check out my Patreon page or become a YouTube channel member by clicking the join button below the video. This gets you sneak peeks at future videos, bonus content, and access to my supporter-only Discord server where you can hang out and team build with other community members. You also see your name at the end of my videos like all these lovely people. Special thanks to my most boosted supporters, Avatar67 and Lilith Lilligant, for the generous pledges. Another way to support me is to check out all the videos in the playlist on screen right now. I know you'll find something in there that you'll enjoy. I also have a second channel where I talk about the current VGC metagame trends and a Twitch channel where I stream, both of which are in the description. Or you can just tune into my YouTube live streams Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. CST. Thank you all for watching, and I'll see you in the next video. Bye.